Tim, could we have that back, the last slide back up? The left and right brain one. Okay, it's quite cool, isn't it? Who knows what artisans are? I thought it was like French pastry and that sort of thing. But
people who make them.
People who make things.
Oh, okay, who make really good things. Hands up if you think you're a left brain person. Okay, hands up if you think you're a right brain person. Hands up if you haven't got a brain. It looks like. Okay, yeah, okay. It looks like quite a few of you. It's
no brain at all.
No brain at all. Okay, yeah, before we get going, I just need to check. Dapper, you're ready? Ready and raring? Where's Dara? You're ready and raring to go? Yeah, and Renee, you're ready and raring to go. Okay, fantastic. We've got some guys that are going to read some stuff for us. Firstly, I just want to say we really love when people bring different contributions to help shape Sunday. It's really helpful. The passage that I'm going to preach from this morning, and Bezzy already read for us. So well done for coming up here and reading it, but which is really good. I don't think you knew that. But it's a great... I just love it when we have this collective sense of God speaking to us. But I'm going to just speak this morning on, are we now facing a post-referendum blues or a post-referendum ball? Okay, now, we live in London, okay, and I suspect that there is half and half. We probably voted half to leave, half to remain. It's probably split exactly down the middle. But on Thursday, we did make a monumental decision that will change this country forever. Not for worse or for evil, but for better or for worse, but it will change it for a long time. It will change the social and political landscape. If I'm honest, I thought that we would vote for the status quo. That's what I thought would happen. And I think many people thought that we would probably vote for the status quo. But I did go to bed on Thursday night hearing the Leave campaign pretty much conceding defeat and saying, yes, well, we've lost this battle, but we will win the war. And then I woke up with the Leave campaign declaring Independence Day, okay? The thing is that we will now face all sorts of joyful or fearful predictions about what will happen. And, you know, we won't exactly know how things will shape up, but we are taking a different course from what we thought we might have done. But the most important thing is this, is how do we now navigate a Christian perspective on all of this? Because I believe that as Christians, we are here for such a time as this. When the country is just all sort of like, we're not really sure how things are going to work out. And some people think, you know, just to be really open and upfront with you, I was a real floating voter. I didn't really know which way to vote. But just to be really clear with you, in the end, I voted to remain. But I'm also aware of some very compelling convictions that actually would make you want to vote to leave. And I want to preach on Luke chapter 6, which is the verses that Mbezi read from, about building our house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And one of the compelling reasons, actually, although I voted to remain, that you could well vote to leave, and it is a very compelling reason, is this, that the EU very intentionally wrote God out of their constitution. And they very intentionally said, no, we do not want to have a reference to our Christian heritage as part of our constitution. But actually, did you know that the Sermon on the Mount, or the Sermon on the Plain, as we're probably going to read this morning, actually forms much of the basis of our democracy? Because some of the things that Jesus spoke in here have actually been the foundation of how society has been built. And actually, Jesus spoke a very clear Christian ethic on how we should be leaving, how we should be living. As we all know, yeah, Jesus did vote to leave, so yeah. Is that right? Okay. So what I've wanted to do is where are the microphones? What we're going to do is we could not have asked for a better passage to come to next. We have been preaching our way through Luke, and we couldn't have asked for a better passage to look at if we wanted to say, how do we build our lives? Because it teaches this whole thing of building our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to do is, intentionally, we're going to read pretty much all of the second half of Luke chapter 6. And I just wanted different voices to read it. Because at the moment, the danger is sometimes when we do things all differently, you know, actually, we want to be inclusive. And as a church, we've always done things that are very including different people. So Renee, I know you're going to read a longer passage. Could you read verse 46 to 49? Is that okay? And then after you just give the mic to Dapo, but we won't read it just yet. So Luke, if you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, building on a solid foundation.
So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins.
Fantastic, thank you. So in the midst of what we face now, as the United Kingdom, what do? We come back and we say, we will intentionally build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ and nobody else. We won't build it on our own security. We won't build on whether the way that we voted won the day or whether we voted lost the day. We won't build it on our own competence. We won't build it on the competence of politicians. We won't build it on our history, on our legacy. We will build our lives solidly and intentionally and focusedly on the rock of Jesus Christ. And the verses that Renee read for us say this: how do we know that we're building our lives on the rock of Jesus? What does it mean to build our lives on the rock of Jesus? What does it mean and what does it look like? It's very, very simple. We hear what Jesus said and we do what he told us to do. The next verses we're going to read. Dapo, could you read for us verse 27 to 36? We're going to go back to the beginning of Luke chapter 6.
Luke 6, 27. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money to only those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate.
Fantastic. So easy to say, to love your enemies. It's actually really quite harder when people say things about you, when people want to take advantage of you, when people intentionally manipulate what you're saying and spin it around and make it mean something totally else. It's very easy to say to love your enemies, but when somebody is really having a go at you, it's not quite so easy. It is not quite so easy. And do you know, I know that, you know, just to go back to this EU referendum, I know that there are people like, people in my not immediate family, but wider family, who I know have voted very differently. And when you know people, it's easier to sort of to accept them and just to accept it as a rational argument. And there are people in the room here that we've all voted different ways. And because we know each other and we love, it's easier to accept other people. But did you know what? It's really hard sometimes when we see politicians that we really disagree with and to love them. because they're distant and they're sort of like at an arm's length, and we think, oh no, they typify everything that we don't like about them. And can I just ask you this morning to do one thing right now in your mind? I want you to think of one politician. Please don't call it out, okay? I want you to think of one politician now that most typifies the way you do not think. I just want in your mind to most, who is it that is like that, the opposite end of where you're at? The opposite end of where you're at. And you could be thinking, I think you could be thinking here in the UK, or maybe there's another country, like America, you might want, I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I wouldn't say anything. Okay, do you have a politician in mind? Okay, what I want you to do is this. I want you to make a commitment to pray for that person. I'll tell you why I want you to make a commitment to pray for them. Because when Stephen in the New Testament was being stoned, what did he do? He prayed. As the stones were raining in on him, he prayed for those people that were stoning him. And if Stephen can pray for people who are lobbing stones at his head, you can pray for a politician that you disagree with. And you know what? What I want you to do is this. I want you to pray three things in their lives. I want you to pray that they would know God's compassion. I want you to pray that they would know God's protection. And I want you to pray that not that they would think more like you, but they would think more like Jesus. Just pray those things. Because we are called not to be the people. We have this unique, extraordinary moment in time when the church can rise up and do something really, really different. There is the potential of a niggly, divided nation. We don't really know. But we have an opportunity to do something extraordinarily different. There is, in those passages, that passage that Dapo read for us, there is this extraordinary sense of generosity of the kingdom. You know, people sometimes talk about the largesse of the kingdom, you know, this like incredible sense of there are no bounds to the generosity of God's kingdom in our lives. That's the people that we should be. And this week, Dave just told me about some instance that he was involved in. And Dave, you have to come and tell us about it because it's such fun.
Hey, guys. So I think it was last Sunday, I was on the way back from South London picking up Arietta and Theo from the in-laws. And as I was coming on to where Brent Cross is, there was a guy in a suit pulled over in a bit of a beat-up car, just like madly waving people down. So I just pulled up and I just said, hey, what's wrong? Can I help you? And he just started saying, oh, I need to get to Glasgow. I need money to get to Glasgow. My nan's unwell. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then he's like taking off his jewelry and like chucking it in my car and saying, look, take my jewelry, but give me 200 quid cash. And you think, oh, it's interesting. And he was from the Middle East. And I just looked at him and I said, look, I'm not going to take your jewelry and I'm not going to give you 200 cash. But if you want to go to Glasgow, I'll take you to the petrol station and fill your car up with petrol. So he sort of was like, no, but I need the money. I was like, well, if this is your concern, then I will meet your need. Because at this moment, you know that you could be having the wool pulled over your eyes. But it was an irrelevant thing. So I just said, look, God loves me. I love you. Let's go. So off we went to a petrol station, filled up his car with petrol.
How much did you put in?
About £75 worth.
Dave.
Bought him a bottle of water, some sandwiches for him and his friend who was also in the car. And then I just said, look, here's 20 quid cash I've got on me. I went to the bank, gave him another 40 quid. And I said, that will be enough for you to stay in a hotel. If your need is genuine, you can now get there. You can stay in a hotel. And then he just started kissing my face. And that's what happened. And so that was the story. But I knew all the time that it could have been a complete false thing. But that's what we did because I just wanted to love someone because I know that I am loved.
Fantastic. It's great. Was Dave taken for a ride? Who knows? But I tell you what, one thing I do know is that guy knows that he is loved by somebody. And somebody is willing to take a risk on him to love somebody who has no idea who he is. But that is what we're called to do. We're called to love the people, love our enemies, love the people that we don't have any idea, love the people who've... I was reading a series of emails just yesterday. I won't embarrass the person, but it was somebody who is the most in the church, is one of the kindest, gentle-hearted guys I know in the church. People were saying, he just wasn't very good. And you think, he was just saying stuff that was really untrue and unkind. And I think, it's hard when people say that stuff about you. But we just have this extraordinary option now to say, no, we will be different. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you love your enemies? I just need to say there is a secret to doing it. And you may not know this, but there's a secret that I've found really helpful for my life. And it's a great secret. It's to know that God loves you. You know that. If you really know and you believe and you delight and you celebrate the fact that God is for you and that God really likes you and delights in you, did you know what? It's really easy to love other people because you know how much God loves them as well. Because even while you were steeped in your sin and while I was like turning my life away from God, he still chose to love me. And so when this call comes in to love your enemies, we're not saying, okay, just try, Dave, just try really hard to do it. No, it's because we can't help it, because we know that God has really, really loved us. And did you know that when you don't know how much God loves you, it is hard, trust me, to know that you can love other people. And there was a guy, Norman Moss, who was preaching here last week, and he said something that was really, really helpful about rejection. And I don't know if he mentioned a study, and I just thought, I'm going to look that study up, because I thought it was so incredibly helpful. And this was 10 things you don't know about rejection. And I'll read it again. And number 6 was this, that rejection creates, this is from Psychology Today. You can learn from anywhere. Rejection creates surges of anger and aggression. In 2001, the Surgeon General of the US issued a report stating that rejection was a greater risk for adolescent violence than drugs and poverty or gang membership. Countless studies have demonstrated that even mild rejections can leave people to take out their aggression on innocent bystanders. School shootings, violence against women, fired workers going postal are other examples of the strong link between rejection and aggression, and it goes on. All I'm just trying to say to you is that if you have been somebody that you just think, oh no, I've been rejected, what are you likely to do? You're going to reject other people. What are the things, if you don't know that you're not loved, what are you going to do? You ain't going to love other people. But there is a moment when Jesus said, no, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. But you know that verse we know so much. But God loves you. If God could ask each one of you to stand up and Jesus would come and look you in the eye, he would say this, do you know what? I've always, always loved you. I've always loved you. You've always been my precious son. And you have always been my precious daughter. And we go off and we do all sorts of different things and we turn our back on God, but he just comes back. You just need to know that I really love you. And I'm for you. We want to build our house on the rock of Jesus. The first thing it says is this, love your enemies. The second thing, Dara, could you read verse 37 to, 41? Is that okay?
Okay, so don't condemn others. Stop judging others and you will not be judged. Stop criticizing others or it will come back on you. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. What good is it for one blind person to lead another? The first one will fall into a ditch and pull the other down also. A student is not greater than the teacher, but the student who works hard will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log from your own eye, and then perhaps you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Brilliant. Dora, could you give the mic back to Renee? Thank you so much. Love your enemies. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Don't polarize people into different views. Did anyone see what happened to Boris Johnson on Friday morning? Yes. Went out of his house. What was he confronted with? Just a shed load of people just booing him. You know, and whichever way you voted, you might think, how dare they do that? Or yeah, boo a bit louder. But do you know what? Our call is to do something different. Our call is to do something different from that. And Jesus is not saying, don't use like legitimate wisdom, don't use your judgment well. He's not saying there shouldn't be justice, there shouldn't be social justice. He's not saying there shouldn't be discipline in the family, even in church. He's not saying all of those sorts of things. But he's just saying, like, do not allow your life to be based around criticizing, judging, and pulling other people down. And then the passage that Dara read, you just think, it's wonderful. So, and it's talking about the measure with which we use towards other people will be the measure with which we come back. So I just need to ask you a question. Generally, across the broad spectrum of your life, you gave away 75 quid. Do you feel that you have, like, God has repaid you in greater measure?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I know, Dave. I know the story, and you just think that as David's been extraordinarily generous, like extraordinary generosity just comes back. But we don't, at this moment, I just think, could we not be the people that criticize and judge other people? But can we be the people that seek the well-being of everybody else, whether we like them or whether we not? Do you know what? I just need to, the other thing that we had on here on was it Thursday?
Wednesday.
On Wednesday, Chris. We had this phenomenal thing with the food bank in here. And there was a training day for the food bank, and we had all sorts of different groups that are coming in here. And you just need to know what is happening is that now the Department for Work and Pensions are supporting what's happening in the food bank. And the number of different groups that as we as a church put a stake in the ground and say, no, we're going to do something different. Okay, we are not going to hate our enemies, we're going to love our enemies, and we're not going to judge and condemn. We're going to do something different. We're going to be people with generous hearts. Actually, other people are coming on board, and you don't, but Chris, it's unbelievable that the Department of Work and Pensions are now getting on board what we're doing and supporting what we as a church is doing. And it's a lot down to, like, to Chris and the whole team of CAP that have set something up. But it's extraordinary, and we see the fruit of it coming up. Culture and society is changing when we live according to how Jesus spoke we should. How should we measure forgiveness and generosity? With the overwhelming forgiveness and generosity that God has shown to us. The last passage. Renee, could you read verse 43 to the end of to verse 49?
A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Sorry, my phone. And grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. But what you say flows from what is in your heart.
Yeah.
So why do you keep calling me?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, Karen.
Do it
yeah,
again?
Yeah.
Okay. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins.
Thank you so much. We will be people who build our house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And I just need to ask you, what are you building your life on? Are you building your life on what Jesus has spoken to us? Or are you getting dragged along by what everybody else says you should be doing? Or what your emotions say you should be doing? I just believe that we have this extraordinary and wonderful opportunity right now to speak a different word over our nation and to speak a different word into our schools, into our workplaces, into our homes, and into our society. Let's be confident that as we build, as Christ commanded us to build, that we will love our enemies, that we will not judge, we will not condemn, and we will be the most generous people we know. Where's Tosin? Is she not? She's not here. Okay. Could you just stand, please? I'm going to pray for the unity of our nation. And I'm also going to pray that we would be a body of people who love Jesus, who build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, and that we will speak a different word into our culture and into our society. But I'm also going to pray for our politicians, that they would have extraordinary grace and wisdom right now. And when I finish praying, we're going to come back and we're going to sing something. Somebody else, a few people may want to share some things, but we're going to come back and we're going to worship. But we're also going to pray. If you are here this morning and you are unwell, you have something that is in your body that is infirm, in the same way that Ornella said that as she worshipped, her ear popped open, we're going to pray that God would come and do a mighty work in our lives. Lord Jesus. Lord, you have said that we must pray for our leaders. And you have commanded us to pray for those in authority over us. And so right now, we want to pray for our politicians. We want to pray for David Cameron as he faces the prospect of stepping down as our Prime Minister. We want to pray for those who would step up to lead the nation. And we ask, oh God, not that they would think more like us, but they would think more like you, King Jesus. We want to ask, oh God, for godly men and women who would rule and reign over us. We want to pray for godly men and women that would seek to serve the people, not for gain or not for their own interest, but instead that your kingdom would reign increasingly over our nation. And we do pray that, Lord, as we took this extraordinary step on Thursday to remove ourselves from the European Union, we say, oh God, would you come and fall on this nation? I want to pray, oh God, that it would be a moment for gospel advance in the nation, that there would be Christians around the land that would not live lives of compromise, but instead would stand up and build their lives on the rock of you, King Jesus, that we would be people that would be speaking a different word into our nation of joy and of peace and of reconciliation. We say thank you, O Lord, for all that you are about to do in our midst. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and fall on us as your people? Come and fall on us. I want to pray, O God, for those people right now that are facing the prospect of enemies speaking against them or doing things against them or planning against them. Lord, I want to ask, Lord, that because we know that you have loved us with an everlasting love, we want to pray that out of the overflow of that, you would cause us to love our enemies, just as Stephen prayed for those who are stoning him. God, we pray for it. We pray for it. And I believe that there is a revival wind blowing across our nation. I believe that there is a wind that is blowing across the nation. Well, there will be many thousands of people that will turn to Jesus. And in the midst of uncertainty or in the midst of renewed hope, no, there will be this sense of the calling back to the rock of Jesus Christ. And we want to ask for that. And we cry out to it and we intercede for it. So God, come upon us, Lord, we pray. Come upon us. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and minister to us. We invite you, come minister to us. Father.